Blog Talk Radio.
The time is now, man. On everything. Took my heart away from money. Ain't interested in fame. And I pray that never change. Ambition is priceless. Something that's in your veins. And I put that on my name.
Tim Capshaw holding court today with Terrence Greer of Fairleigh Dickinson University.
Rebound, that piece, the outlet, Terrence Greer.
The physical nature of Terrence Greer.
If you want to be what you want to be, have what you want to have, do what you want to do, man, you got to have that desire. You got to have a hope. Listen to me. It don't come from without. It comes from within. You have what it takes mentally. You have what it takes physically. You got your heart. You got everything it takes to make it happen.
Are different. The way you walk in it is totally different. Why? Because it's fit to
you. And what I'm telling you is you need to have a tailor-made life. When you were created, you were created with a specific purpose, a specific design. I don't care if you was born and, you know, your parents didn't claim you. You still special. I don't care if your mama went in your life, your daddy went in your life. You are still special. When you were created, you were designed to do what nobody else can do. And I'm telling you, when you become the right person, when you become the right person, what you do is you start separating yourself from other people. You begin to have a certain uniqueness. As long as you're following other people, as long as you're being a copycat, you will never, ever be the best copycat in the world. But you will be the best you could be. So I'm challenging you, number one, I'm challenging you to define your value, right? Number two, I challenge you, listen to me. If you want to make more money, if you want to be more successful, if you want to have and do stuff you ain't never done before, number two, I'm asking you to invest in you. That's right. Invest what? Number one, I'm asking you to invest time. I'm asking you to invest time in yourself. Some of y'all, you spend so much time with other people. You spend so much time trying to get people to like you. You spend so much time trying to fit in that you don't even know who you are. You know other people more than you know yourself. You study them. You know about them. You want to hang out like them. You want to be just like them. And you know what? You've invested so much time in them, you don't know who you are. I challenge you to spend time by yourself. I challenge you to take yourself out. There's some young ladies right now, you fine. You pretty, you got it going on, some brothers, you handsome, you suave, you got swag, but you know what your problem is? You've been in one relationship after another relationship, and you ain't never been in a good relationship because you don't even know you. You spend so much time taking her out. You spend so much time trying to impress him. You spend so much time buying her flowers, taking her out to lunch. You spend so much time calling him. You don't even know who you are. You heard what I said. You've invested so much of your time in being liked by other people, being loved by other people, being appreciated by other people, and even know who you are. And I challenge you to invest time in your own self. I challenge you to get to a place where people don't like you and don't even bother you no more. Why? Because you're not concerned with trying to make them happy because you're trying to blow up. You're trying to get to the next level. E.T., I don't like the fact that you do this. I don't.
Yo. I hope you guys enjoyed my brief little 7-minute segment right there. Hey, I mean, it brings you fire. You know, I actually used it last week, but I had to do it again this week because, I mean, it's just that good. And today, what I'm going to talk to you about is a little bit of dress for success. But before I get into that matter, I have here today Mr. County Commissioner out of Lubbock, Texas. We're out here on the northeast side at Amigo, sitting outside here campaigning. He been out here, I think, from like 3 o'clock, I believe. So I thought I would just bring my show to him and let him do his deal and let him let everybody know here in Lubbock, Texas, what's going on and how to support him, and also about the upcoming election. That as we all know, this is a very important election coming up. So I just thought I'd let him know, let him enlighten you guys about that. And also, I'd like to give a moment of silence for the everyone on the East Coast, because we all know that's the biggest hurricane to attack you north. New York. So we all just give a brief 10-minute silence just to pay our respects to everyone up there on the East Coast. All right, everybody, appreciate the moment of silence. All right, what I'm going to do right now is play a little Nicki Minaj song right here to go ahead and get you going. It's one of my favorites. And then after that, I'm going to bring on Ysidro and let him enlighten you guys about the upcoming election.
I came to win, to fight, to conquer, to drive the game through, to fight, to prosper, to rise.
To love. up in a time of fear, and I ain't got no motherfucking time to cheer. Cry my eyes out for days upon days, such a heavy burden placed upon me. But when you go hard, your name become yay. Yankee Stadium with Jay and Kanye.
Lots of oil in this part of the country, and we have a lot of cattle. And so when people think about Texas, they usually think about oil and cattle, and that's what we got here. So I take it that our listeners can hear in the background the community, the Lubbock community. You got the sirens, the traffic. And that's what it's all about when you're out campaigning for political office. It's getting outside, visiting with people. I believe that this is something that would happen around the world, no matter where a person is running for office. I just happen to be running for a political office here in the beautiful community of Lubbock, Texas. And like any other political race, we've got to meet the voter. We've got to get out and say hello, shake hands. And the conventional wisdom is people like you when you pick up their babies in your arms and tell the parents how beautiful the child is. And so we do that because that's how you endear yourself to the voter. And then the voter will remember you. And when it comes time to get into the ballot box, they will press a button for your name. You know, it's some of the stories about elections that have made world news and have gotten national attention were the voters in Iraq, when they would go to the polls and dip their finger into the purple ink, and then as they walked out of the poll, they would proudly display their index finger, showing that they had voted with that purple dye or purple stain on their finger. That shows a tremendous amount of pride in the people and their right to vote. They were proud to be able to cast a ballot and elect their form of government. We have that same type of system in this country where individuals can go into a poll, they can cast a ballot and be part of a process that determines the system that they're going to live under, which, of course, in our part of the country, it's a republic, democratic republic. And we are proud to invite people to do so. When you're running for political office, of course, the very first thing you have to do is to get people out to the polls. They have to be motivated. It is up to the candidate to get people to come out and cast a ballot. And that's what I'm doing. I am out right here at this moment. We're standing in front of the polling place. of course, outside the distance markers, and we are saying hello to voters. We're waving at them as they go by. They honk. I think the audience can hear the traffic behind me as it's going by. And so we're here. Also, there's a McDonald's, so we need to take a coffee break. We don't leave the area. We stay here. We get a coffee and just get back out to the polls and continue asking voters to come out and vote for us. Some of the issues in Lubbock County, of course, are the roads that are important to farmers, because this is how they get their oil to market. This is how they get their cattle to market. This is how they get the milk from their dairy herds to market. This is how they get their agricultural products like cotton to market. Lubbock happens to be one of the largest cotton-producing regions in the world. Within a 50-mile radius of Lubbock, there is something like 16% of the cotton production in the United States. So you might imagine that it's a very significant area for cotton production. We have dairy farms here in the Lubbock area, too, so we want to make sure that roads are drivable for the dairy farmers so that they can get their cattle to and from the dairy, so they can get their feed to the animals, so that they can transport the milk to market, so that they can have the employees able to come in the morning to milk the cows. That's one of the main responsibilities of the office that I am running for, is to maintain the roads. The roads have to be drivable, especially after a heavy rain. It is amazing what a little bit of running water will do to a road. I think that our fellow Americans in the East Coast today are experiencing what running water will do to infrastructure. We understand, of course, we had a moment of silence during the program here. We understand that there's a tremendous amount of damage, and this we recognize here in Texas, because we know what running water will do to a road. And, of course, we try to get it back in order as quickly as possible, just like in the East, in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, even towards the Great Lakes region, the people will have to rebuild. And I understand what it takes to rebuild. It takes a tremendous amount of equipment, takes a tremendous amount of labor, takes a tremendous amount of materials. And that's the responsibility of a commissioner in Texas. That is to make sure that you have the trained personnel, that you have the equipment, that you have the materials, that you're able to respond very quickly when a road washes out, just like we're seeing in New York this week and in the rest of the areas that have been affected by the hurricane. The tragic loss of life, of course, we pray that that doesn't happen, but unfortunately sometimes it does. But we just, our hearts go out to the families. So that's one of the responsibilities. Another responsibility of the commissioner in Texas is to set the tax rate for the people of the county. We understand and accept the idea that you want taxes to be low so that people can keep their own money, have it available for use the way that they see fit. Today, in an economy like we have in the United States, where the price of milk is $3.90 a gallon, where gasoline is about $3.50 a gallon, where the wages have been slow to increase, they've been stagnant, in fact. We understand that we need to do as elected officials is to make sure that people have as much of their own money as they can possibly keep. So we want to keep taxes low. That is one of the responsibilities of the commissioner. We do accept the idea that when a community is known for their low tax rate, that it will attract businesses. Businesses do like the idea of lower taxes. We understand that it's not the primary condition for a business to determine whether they're going to move to an area or not. But low taxes does help. And that is just one of the responsibilities of the commissioner, to set the tax rate. Another major responsibility for the commissioner is public safety. We want to maintain the court system so that a person who is accused of crime, any crime, misdemeanor or felony or whatever it is, that they have a speedy trial, that they have a representation, that they're able to call witnesses, and that they're able to, of course, question their accusers and have an ability to remain silent until proven guilty, they are innocent. And so this is the responsibility of a commissioner as well here in Texas, to make sure that the court system is properly funded through a budget process, make sure that the court rooms are furnished and maintained, and that there's adequate staff for the court. That is a major responsibility. Going hand in hand with the courts are the jails. The county commissioners are responsible also for funding and approving the staffing levels for the county jail. The sheriff comes to the commissioners with a budget request every year, and the commissioners have to look at it very carefully, assure themselves that the request is legitimate, that it is needed. And, of course, because it is a public safety area, it should also always be given priority by the commissioners. And this is what I would do. I would make sure that any request coming from the sheriff would receive very, very high priority, simply because public safety is one of the very first and most legitimate responsibilities of government. And I believe that to be true of government at all levels. At the county level, at the city level, state level, national level. Our people have to be kept safe, and that's the responsibility of government to make sure that public safety is assured. We also have in Lubbock County, for the first time in many, well, ever, for the first time ever, we have West Nile virus that has infected the area. And therefore, we now have a greater sense of responsibility for public health in the Lubbock area. We do have to make sure that the mosquito populations are controlled. We have to make sure that the West Nile virus is minimized to the maximum extent possible. And that would be a responsibility of the court in cooperation with the cities and the other governmental agencies that are present in the county. That would be a major responsibility of the commissioners as well. The commissioners are also responsible for approving the budget for the other departments in the county, such as the county clerk, the district clerk, the courts at law, the justice of the peace, the constable office, the district courts. And so in order for the commissioners to properly fund all of these departments, they have to set a tax rate that will generate enough monies for these essential services, essential purposes. The very good thing about Lubbock County is that Lubbock County has been growing over the last 2 decades, annually about 2% growth, and it is projected that Lubbock County will continue to grow. Now, this is very good news, because a 2% growth rate in Lubbock County is going to generate approximately $2 million new dollars every year. And those $2 million annually, new revenues that come into the county coffers, are enough to fund the annual growth in essential services as the community continues to grow. Now, this doesn't mean that we will never raise taxes in Lubbock County, but it does mean that we don't have to raise taxes unless it is absolutely necessary. And in a difficult economic times, we want to ensure that that does not happen. So right now, we're out here telling the voters that this is what we want to do. We want to have policies in place that are going to provide efficient and effective government for them, is going to provide essential services for the people of Lubbock County. We're going to be able to do it at minimal cost. We're going to be doing it at minimal government intrusion into the lives of people. And therefore, a voter that is considering a candidate would look at someone who has these ideological or this philosophical positions in an election, and they would say, well, yes, this is the person I would like to vote for. This is the one that I would like to have on the court making those decisions about funding and staffing and budgeting. And the hopefully people will recognize that I am that kind of a candidate, and I would ask people for their vote based on these matters. And so if there is a person from Lubbock County that is listening and is interested in casting a ballot for me, I would invite them to do so. I understand that this broadcast might be heard in China or Australia, and for them it's just information about our community. It's a wonderful little area here where people are able to raise their children. We have a great education system. We have a great medical care system here in the Lubbock area. As a matter of fact, Lubbock is the hub for the region. Immediately surrounding Lubbock is a population of about 500,000 people. And they, as a matter of routine, will travel to Lubbock for shopping. They will travel into Lubbock for medical care. They will travel into Lubbock for college attendance at the university here. And for sports and arts and such things, because Lubbock does happen to be the hub of this particular region. So anyway, this is what Lubbock is all about, and I hope that you guys find all of this information interesting.
All righty, Mr. Jesus,
here, man.
Appreciate you, man.
Hey. Happy to be here.
My pleasure. This guy right here is a great man. He's a veteran of our country, and he's also a very smart man. So, with all that being said, everyone, just please find it in your heart to go out and place your vote. It really don't matter who you vote for. All that matters is that you go out. And do what it takes, you know, just do what it takes to make your country the way you want it to be. So just give me a few seconds right here. We're going to another song and let you guys relax. So just please, and I'll be right back.
I fly with the skies. I am no longer trying to survive. I believe that life is a prize, but to live doesn't mean you're alive. Don't worry about me and who I fire. I get what I desire, it's my empire. And yes, I call a shot, I am the umpire. I sprinkle holy water upon the vampire. In this very moment, I'm king. In this very moment, I slay Goliath with a sling. This very moment, I bring, put it on everything. That I will retire with the ring, and I will retire with the crown. Yes. No, I'm not lucky, I'm blessed. Yes, clap for the heavyweight champ, me. But I couldn't do it all alone. We, Young Money raised me, grew up out in Paisley, Southside Jamaica, Queens, and it's crazy. Cause I'm still hood, Hollywood couldn't change me. Shout out to my haters, sorry that you couldn't save me. Ain't being cocky, we just vindicated. Let's believe that what we done, this moment will be syndicated. I don't know, this night just remind me of everything they deprived me of. Put your drinks up. It's a celebration every time we link up. We done did everything they could think of. Greatness is what we wanna bring up.
That I can have this moment for
Yo, how's it going, world? Hey, now it's time for me to get into my topic of the day. It's called Dress for Success. And I know y'all think it's probably one of the most overused phrases in job hunting, but it's also one of the most underutilized by job seekers. Dress for Success. I mean, listen to me. In job hunting, first impressions are critical. But you got to remember, you are marketing a product, and that product, which is yourself. You're marketing yourself to that potential employer. And the first thing employees see when greeting you is your attire. I mean, it's I don't want to say really attire, but you can say swag. You know, I know that's very popular in today's world. They notice your swag, but in a job world, they get in the sense of your attire. So you must have your attire right. You must make every effort. You must make every effort to dress properly for the type of job you are seeking. With the right dressing properly, I mean, you give yourself a choice. You give yourself not a choice but a chance, and then which later becomes a choice on if you really want to take that job or not. But should you be judged of what you wear? I mean, rightfully so, you should not be judged. But the reality is, of course, you are being judged. Throughout the entire job seeking process, employers use shortcuts. I mean, to the rules of thumb. I mean, they use shortcuts just to save time. I mean, they go, well, this guy was dressed nice. This guy really wants this job, but this guy didn't really dress accordingly to the type of job he wants, which automatically rules him out. And they know whether you're going to get the job whenever you get up and get out that chair and having that conversation with them or not. And what they do that just to save time. Nothing against you, but that's just how it works. And just the same thing as with cover letters. It's the opening paragraph and a quick scan of your qualifications. With resumes, it's a quick scan of your accomplishments. With the job interview, it's how you dress, and that sets the tone of your interview. It's gonna be like, okay, if you real dressed, they're gonna be like, okay, I gotta get my stuff together. How am I gonna approach this candidate right here that's applying for this job? And they're gonna think, if you got your stuff together, what's that's gonna do? Make them come at you correctly, and then what that's gonna do? And then that's gonna make them think of you as a higher standard, and then boom, once you come at them with the way you are dressed, and then you're more likely so to get the job. I mean, that's just my valid opinion. So I'm guessing you're thinking, how should you dress? All right. Dressing conservatively is also the safest route, but you should also try to do a little investigating about the job that you're seeking and what to wear and how you can do that. I mean, you could just like in the sports world, you know, you want to watch film on the opponent. You know what I mean? You want to see what he's and she's doing. You want to know which way are they breaking their routes. Or in basketball, do he like to dribble with the right or with the left? Or in baseball, what's his favorite pitch? You know, do he throw his changeup right? Do he got a curveball throwing a slider? I mean, same thing in the job world. You want to go scout that job. If you want to work at a bank, I mean, go in a bank. You know what I mean? See how they are dressing. Most banks are different. Some banks are more laid back than others. Some banks are highly more conservative than others, which is not taken away from either of the one, but that's just the personality of that bank. So do your homework. Do your research. You don't want to go in there too overdressed. You want to go in there looking accordingly to the job you want, like I said before. And then if you overdress, which is rare, but it can happen, and I'm a touch on that. So, but if you overdress or if you underdress, the potential employer, they might feel that you don't care enough about the job. I mean, so you don't want to go in there in sweats or for an example, again, if you're applying to the bank, you know you don't want to go in there with a collar T-shirt on with some jeans. It's like, come on now. It's like you got to do your homework, bud. But how do you find out what's the best thing to wear? You got to do your homework. I mean, if you don't want to go in there and do your homework and browse your future employment, you can also get on the internet. Look at the HR resources page on the internet. Or you can ask somebody, you know what I mean? Ask one of your friends. Ask one of your coworkers that you're working with now, who might be a little bit more outgoing than you. But that's just something that you have to do in order to succeed and get to where you want to be. I mean, there's no shortcuts. I mean, you can just think of something, but it's more, you get more out of it when you be prepared. I'm telling you. And finally, you do not need to run out and spend a lot of money on clothes for interviewing. Trust me, because I had little to no money going into my first job or my little career gig that I got. I mean, I got clothes from here and there from my roommate, you know, from my roommate's cousin and all that. But when the people see me, they think I put it all. I bought it all myself and I look like $1 million. But I'm just like, hey, I might not even got $5 in my pocket, but I look like I got thousands. I mean, and that's real. I mean, but that's just how I was brought up. I was brought up coming from nothing. But people always thought I had something, and it was all about how I dressed and how I carried myself. But I'm just like, hey, the reality is I'm going to need you to get me. You know what I'm saying? If we go to McDonald's, you know what I mean? But the way I carried myself, and that's why people always looked at me at a higher standard, because I always held my head high, my shoulders wide, you know what I mean? And looking dressed to impress from head to toe, no matter where I go. And now what I'm going to do for you now is give you some hints, you know, so whenever you do get that first interview, give you some hints on what to do during that first interview and how to dress. You know, first you want to get cleaned and polished dress shoes. You don't want them to be too flashy. You don't want to wear your shoes you wear for your senior prom that might be, you got some diamonds, gator skins all on. No, nothing against gator skins. I got a pair myself, but I'm just saying for that interview, it might be a little bit too much. You want to be a well-groomed hairstyle. You want to go to the barbershop, get you a cut. Make sure you tell your barber, like, hey, I got an interview, so, you know, keep it tight. Keep it tight, keep it right. Then you want to get cleaned and trimmed fingernails. Look at your fingernails right now. Tell me, ooh, I know it'd be like, ooh, I might need to go ahead and trim these. Get the dirt from up under your fingernails. Because I'm telling you, especially if you're being interviewed by a woman, she's going to look at that. Not so much a man, but even though they need to be looking at that, because I look at it when I interview people. So you need to get your fingernails right. And you don't want to put on too much cologne. And ladies, don't put on too much perfume. I'm telling you, it's going to make, you don't want to look like he's trying too hard. I'm telling you, you don't want to put on too much. And then you don't want to have no visible body piercings beyond conservative or earrings for women. I'm telling you, ladies, don't go in there with your tongue ring, you know, with the earring on top of your ear. You know, but then again, it depends on what type of job you are applying for. But the majority, if you want a career job that's going to have some family sustaining wages, you know, you don't want to be showing them piercings. And you want to have well-brushed teeth and fresh breath. It seems something so small, but listen to me. You know, how would you feel if you were interviewing somebody and they open their mouth and they got bad breath? Woo-wee. I don't know about you, but hey, somebody with bad, I'm not going to let them know, but I'm sure I'm going to lean back in my chair and be like, ooh, they breath stink. You know, so you want to have well-brushed teeth and fresh breath. And then you don't want no gum, no candy, and nothing else in your mouth. I mean, that's just not professional. You don't want to do that. I mean, it's like, come on, get real. If you're really trying to eat and get this career, put down a gum. I mean, you could chew some before it's time for your interview while you're waiting. And also while you're waiting, read a magazine, read a book. Make it look like you're trying to expand your mind when you wait. I remember when I was getting interviewed right before my interview before the federal probation office here in Lubbock, Texas. I mean, I was like, okay, I'm waiting. So I'm going to look at these other books. You know, I'm going to see what else I can learn before I get in there, because I know how I am. Because if I learn something right now, maybe I can use it within that interview. So I'm just trying to tell you, I mean, that's just how I think. And then on the jury, you don't have, ladies, you can get away with this. You know, you can look all prettied up, you know, with your necklaces and all that, as long as it ain't too flashy. You know, you can do that. Fellas, not so much. Keep it little to none. And my last thing, no body odor. You don't want to be in there looking all funky. Please don't. I mean, it's just like the breath. So you do not want to be in there smelling any which way. But anyways, that's my topic for today. Dress for success. So please just go ahead and do what you got to do. Take what I say to heart and enjoy the rest of the show.
Enjoy the rest of the show. You can also catch me at Soar Every Day at Twitter.com. That's once again at Soar Every Day at Twitter.com. Hey, I hope everybody have a blessed day. And if you're here in America, don't forget to set your clocks back an hour on Saturday night. Once again, don't forget to set your clocks back 1 hour if you're here in America. Hope everyone have a blessed night and take care.